So You Can Relate podcast with Joyce and Adepola. Anyway, guys, we're locked in and we're ready to go.
We're talking about
Jill Scott, and then we started talking about Why Did I Get Married? Mm-hmm. I love this movie. I'm
telling you. I was saying that scene where she smashed, was it a bottle she smashed on his head?
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. I said, smash it again.
It was the way she was shocked. She said nothing. She was just there like looking in a daze and she just smashed. And then the guy was like, I think he said something to her like, oh, you know, like, you know, he's really bad. And she was like, I should have killed him. I wish I killed him. I said, ah!
Evil.
No, he was such, but you know what? He was so horrible that it was almost funny.
It was actually quite funny, but it was like a, this is so horrible, it's, kind,
yeah,
of
exactly,
like, I don't know how else to react to this but to laugh.
Yeah, it's so uncomfortably bad that you have to laugh. Like when, yeah, they were on the plane and he was like, yeah, she can walk.
Yeah, her fat ass can walk. And then she goes, I'm going up this mountain to save my marriage.
As in playing gospel all the way up the mountain.
Oh my God.
No, it was so funny.
You know the scene at the end when they're in the bathroom?
Yeah.
And she starts crying. They're like, oh, Sheila, you look so good.
Yeah.
And she goes, what did she say? I don't remember what she said, but she was just basically testifying about how good her new husband is to her.
Do you know what? That scene, I always looked at it differently from how other people looked at it.
How'd you look at it?
I looked at it as like, if I was her, okay, when you watch the movie, spoiler by the way, for people who haven't watched it.
Yeah.
This is a group of like really close friends. They're married and they go on these retreats every year. Mm-hmm. So it comes across that these are her closest friends. How can you not tell your closest friends that you're engaged and that you've got married? Like they just found out because they all happened to be at the awards show for Janet Jackson. Yeah, and I was just thinking, if I was her friend, I would be like, I would feel a way. I'd be like, wow, you didn't even say that, like, you're married. I had to find out just because, like, we met each other at the award show. And they were all like, oh my gosh, we're so happy for you. But I always saw that as, like, maybe they just weren't as close as they came across.
I think also movies just don't make any sense.
Yeah.
And they just had to make it make sense. But maybe, like, I don't remember how it went exactly, but didn't she, like, stay in that town with him?
Yeah, she did.
So I guess maybe you could say they just grew apart and she stayed there with her husband, just vibing out for a while. And next thing you know, she comes back and she's married.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. And it was when she was in the hotel room and she was like to him, I have like $78 to my name. I said, girl, it's such a classic Tyler Perry movie. Mm-hmm. It's laughable.
People really call Tyler Perry a terrorist. The things he puts black women through in his movies. It's like, do you actually hate black women?
Have you watched For Colored Girls?
Like Out of a Window.
No, that movie is too much. Every woman is going through it in that movie. Every single one.
It's beautiful in terms of the poetry, though. I really like the poetry in it. But it's just a straight up depressing movie.
Yeah, it is.
And there's another one, obviously, Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that film. I think the part that I grappled with.
Oh, come on now.
I grappled with was when obviously he had his car crash and he's now in a wheelchair and she goes back to look after him after she finds out he's got a whole wife, mistress and kid or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now his new lady has left him because he's paralyzed in a wheelchair, and she's looking after him with anger and hatred in her heart.
It was too much. Like when she was wanting him to drown in the bathtub,
that's what I'm getting to
like,
now.
Girl.
She literally pushed him, his paralyzed body into
a bathtub.
Was it a bathtub or like a swimming pool?
Something like that, yeah.
This guy was now in fetal position in the pool.
It was too much.
Literally drowning in water. And then she sat there like this, smoking a cigarette. I said, okay, but why does this exist? Like, why are we looking
at this? Yeah. It was too far.
Like, why did you make this? And sometimes I watch movies and I'm like, the things, I feel like artists are really capable of getting away with the weirdest things in the name of art.
Yeah.
And that includes things like this. Like, why did he have to make that movie?
It was
it was just meant to be entertaining. This is traumatizing.
That part was too much. I remember actually watching that movie with my mum, and my mum was like, what is this?
Yeah.
She was like, what is this? What is, like, it was on? Too much. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But do you know what? It's weird because whenever I watch like movies and series, I'm always so forgiving of the characters.
Yeah.
So like, obviously he was like a horrible person. He treated her badly. Mm. But when it wasn't so much when he got, when he had the accident, but when he starts to get better and he starts like walking again and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then there's like a scene at the church where he goes to the front of the church to give his life to Christ.
Father, can you hear me? I used to watch that on YouTube all the time.
Not Buddha, no Muhammad. But it's Jesus.
Oh no.
Father, can you hear us?
That song is good. But yeah.
When it says, forgive you, give everything.
Anyway. And then her mom, the drug addict mom comes.
With the best voice ever.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But they always have that redemption scene in these movies as well. So when I was growing up, I thought Tyler Perry films were Christian films. Like And like Christian productions. Because they always had those, like they were always church people.
They were, yeah.
They were always church people going through it. And I guess you could say as a Christian, yeah, I liked that part about redemption and stuff like that. But it was like, he just put them through hell and high water and then took them to the altar last minute. So, oh yeah, it's going to be all right.
And you know what? It gives people this perception that like when you go to the altar,
yeah,
everything's just going to magically disappear.
There's one song by Kirk Franklin called The Altar. Do you know the altar?
At the altar.
It reminds me of, there was even a scene like that in Girlfriends. I don't know, did you watch Girlfriends when it came out again last on Netflix?
No, I didn't, because we can even go into that later. Yeah. But yeah, it just really wasn't for me. Oh. But I hear that there's this like church scene that's everyone talks about.
Okay, so obviously spoiler alert, but like in Girlfriends towards like maybe the second to last season or maybe two seasons before that, Tony and Joan, like they have like a really big fallout basically, to the point where their friendship is tested to the absolute max. And they're basically not talking. And then one day they're all in church and Donnie McLaughlin is there for some reason. He's there preaching.
When he's there, you know, it's about to it's get about real.
I was listening to him at work a few days ago. Like I pop one AirPod in every now and then to just listen.
Yeah.
And this is one Donnie McLaughlin song. This guy was shouting in my ear. I was thinking, if they could hear what I'm listening to right now. Anyway, so he comes and he's singing. I forgot what song it was. We Fall Down. We Get Up. He was singing that. And then, who goes up first? I don't know. I think Tony goes up first. She just starts walking slowly up the down the aisle and like standing at the front and just like crying to the worship.
Yeah.
And then Joan comes up and does the same thing. And then I think they hold hands and basically that's them like making up for their friendship. I'm thinking they just love to throw in these.
But apparently like they were in real life, they were actually like touched.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
I mean, it was touching. It was definitely, you could see it was a live performance saying, you know, I don't think the spirit has bounds in terms of this is a sex.
So I'm going to mess up your show now.
God's going to move regardless. So if you have a spirit-filled man like Donnie McLaughlin there.
Do you know what I always found so entertaining to watch? You see church people, especially, let me say black church people.
Mm.
Have you ever watched Sunday Best?
Of course.
As in, Kirk Franklin will be holding them saying, you know what, your song is over. They're like, yeah. We're not talk about Jesus.
Because the spirit moves.
As in,
you can't tell church people to stop.
You can't. You can't say, oh, advert break.
No, sorry.
Sorry.
The spirit's moving and he doesn't have any bounds. So he's gonna keep on going. And that's why I think it's interesting when people do what looks like spontaneous worship in public.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said in the podcast already that time I was on the train with my mum in the morning and this woman just started singing. And then my mum started speaking in tongues and I was like, girl, please.
Yeah.
It's like, and the spirit moves. So I do think it's cool when they incorporate those things into like TV and just stuff like that and like movies, because it's just
I can just imagine the production behind the scenes, like, okay, so we do need to go to an ad break, you know, is there any way that we can kind of, you know, bring this to a halt, wrap it up, you know?
But no, you can't. The answer is actually no, like you genuinely can't.
Yeah. But do you know what, I do tend to, like when it happens in services, I enjoy those services where it's just like, you know what, I don't think there's going to be a sermon today.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah, we just don't stop. Christians are relentless. Yeah, they're resilient. But I think it's funny when you're the person in the room who's just not in their mood. and it's like, do you remember where we were a few weeks ago when that happened?
Oh my gosh. No. Christians need to read the room as well.
Read the room.
Like.
Oh my God. this conversation that was happening in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
Me and Joyce were just sitting there eating our chips.
It was like a revival meet. It honestly was.
The spirit was moving there and we said, well...
But do you know what? I think because we weren't there from the beginning, that's why we found it awkward.
Yeah.
But if we had probably seen the genesis of how the convo started, it would have been. But we came in and we were like, okay, some ministry going on here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I tell you, Christians, they don't mind a bit of awkwardness from time to time.
In fact, they actually embrace it.
They love it.
They see that awkwardness as people just not giving themselves over to God. They see it as you being stush. Mm. Like, I don't care what you're going through right now, you better worship, that kind of thing. But really, I just feel awkward because you're in my face. But it's like, nah, you just need to let go. You need to let go. God is moving.
You need to loose that.
You need to loose your hold. And I think that's why, like, they just don't care. And I don't know, I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing. Sometimes read the room.
Yeah.
But you do often have the defense of when the spirit leads, you follow.
Talking of the spirit leading, have you ever been like at a church or a convention or whatever it is and just... you're just like, I'm just going to let go of everything right now. Like, I'm just going to let go.
As in let go of your problems?
No, not your problems. Like, fully submit to whatever emotion you're feeling. However you're feeling, you just give yourself to it and just be.
You know what? I think I've probably had it once. But even if I say that, I can't remember when. I'd like to believe that it's happened once because it does feel a bit familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it does remind me of... this, I actually said this a long time ago. It reminds me of this song by Don Moen. Do you know Don Moen?
Yeah.
Called I Just Want to Be Where You Are. And I was always in two minds about that song because it was like, he says, I just want to be where you are, like in your presence forever. I just want to be where you are.
Yeah.
And I was in two minds. One mind was, I want to be back where God is. I want to be back in his presence,
mm-hmm.
because I know what his presence feels like. So I want to return to that. The other mind was, I want to know what it feels like, full stop, because I haven't felt it before.
Wow, okay.
And yeah. That's one thing. That's why I like that song. I'm always trying to figure out, what do I mean when I say I want to be where God? Am I asking for entry for the first time to the club? Or am I going back to my favorite club?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you say that, I was always in the situation of, I just want to know how this person is able to let go. I want to know how this person is so moved by God right now that they're clearly becoming even more undignified than this.
Yes, yeah. You've literally hit it on the head.
Even more undignified than yeah, that's what I'm talking about. One kid's praise song, it says, I'll become even more undignified than this. That's basically it. And it's like, you think this is undignified, just wait till I let go.
Yeah, it's literally linked to that story when David is like dancing and he's like, his clothes fall off, right? He says, you know, yeah, me, I don't care when it comes to praising my God.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which I've always struggled with, you know?
Yeah.
Especially, I've struggled with this idea of fully letting go.
I know.
Yeah, I find that hard, like, you know, fully succumbing to my emotions. I guess because I don't do it in any area of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So even... in my relation, I think it's this deeper sense of vulnerability that I find difficult.
I also find it difficult, like on that note, to act like there's nobody in the room.
Thank you.
A lot of the time it's literally just you being self-conscious. Like if you were in a room by yourself and you heard a song where somebody in the song was saying, let it all go, it's a lot easier for me to possibly let it all go
mm-hmm.
in that secret place than it is for me to do that in an auditorium.
Yeah.
With people, many people that I don't know, a couple people that I do know, but even then it's like, I know this person and they know me.
Yeah.
Like, either way, people can see me getting so undignified. And that's a level of vulnerability that is visible to other people, even though it's personal. Like, yeah, it's in your heart, it's between you and God, but I can still be seen by others. And sometimes that's enough to make me not want to get undignified.
But it must be a bit of a pride issue as well.
Of course it's a pride issue. I never denied the fact that I have too much pride.
Though. I hate that I have that pride that I'm like, I don't want it. I wish it wasn't that, but it must be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's literally just like, I don't like how it would look. I don't like how it would look, that kind of thing. I don't like how I would look. I don't like the conclusions that people would jump to about me. Oh, she must be really going through it if she's worshiping
what
like that.
What kind of problem is that? What kind of issue is that?
You know, that kind of thing. And obviously, like, you don't want to be perceived as that. So you do restrict yourself. Do you know that song More by Lawrence Flowers?
Yeah, I love it.
He says, the worshipper in me wants to break free from this intellectual mentality.
Oh my God.
When I should be up, I'm seated in my seat. I should be lifting my hands, giving you praise and glory.
Come on, Edefila.
You know those lyrics?
That is that... exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. The inside of you, your spirit
yeah.
wants to be free.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to literally go up to that altar and dance with God like it's never danced before.
Yeah, yeah.
But your body and your mind and your conscience are telling you, nah, it's okay. Like, don't embarrass yourself.
Exactly.
Don't raise your hands. Your arms are going to get tired. You have to put them down. Someone's going to watch you put your arm down.
them conversations that you're having in your head. So if I put one arm up, or do I put two, or do I put it? Yeah. Like, I remember thinking like that, like when I was young. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Now, the stuff like that don't really, I'm not really bothered by that as much now. Mm-hmm. But I remember that being literal barriers that I had to overcome. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is so bizarre. I admire people that just don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
People that just worship. I think Jackie Hill Perry has this event called Just Worship, actually.
Okay.
Someone does. People that just worship, basically. It's like, yeah. I think that's what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. And I think that truth is your spirit. Like, truly, my spirit wants to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't care about how it looks. It's like having an inner child that really wants to go on this ride, but you're with people who hate going on rides.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're like, you don't even say, I like the look of that ride at the funfair. You said yeah. you go to the arcade to go and play games that you can sit down on. But really, you want to go on that crazy, crazy ride. Mm-hmm. But you tell your inner child, no, it's like, no, we're not doing that. But its desire and its truth is to go and do this thing. And, you know, the Bible does tell us to be like babes, you know. Be like a child. Trust God as naively as a child trusts you.
Yeah.
And if that child and if that spirit is saying, get crazy in this atmosphere.
Get crazy now. Give him a crazy prize.
Give him a crazy prize. Then, yeah, I guess, I not even guess, I know you should do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's easier said than done though. If you're in the atmosphere and you just feel awkward, sometimes you just let that... You just let that compelling feeling pass away.
Mm-hmm. And for some people, they're giving God their all doesn't look crazy, doesn't necessarily look undignified. They're giving God their all in maybe their quiet way or the way that they do it.
But I think sometimes, I'm definitely a culprit of this. I think sometimes we hide behind quietness and we label it as just the way we are.
Okay.
It's like, see, I pray to God in my head.
Oh, yeah.
I don't pray out loud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you just don't want to.
Have you ever been like, I remember back in the day, like being at some like fellowships and they'll be like, pray out loud. And you're like, oh my God.
I hate to this day, my mom hates it when I pray in my head. Yeah. If we're praying communally or whatever, she'll be like, why can't I hear your voice? Like I said last time, she hates when my eyes are always open.
No, people like that, I don't trust them.
I'm so sorry. I just like to look around. I like it, but that's something I think I could work on, I guess. But what were we talking about before? My mind is calibrating. I don't even know, but like just what's it called? Not being afraid of how people see it.
Yeah. Okay. You were saying people that hide behind quiet or whatever.
And hiding behind that quietness. It's just a lot more comfort, you know. I don't want to hear them go me up. I don't want them to hear me go out of tune. I don't want them. I don't want them to think, oh, she cannot dance.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want them to think she's really going through it with the way she's crying right now. Like, I don't want to be seen as that. But what is the point of being a Christian if you're not going to be openly broken and vulnerable in the midst of other Christians who are just as broken as you? Like, are you really going to be in church acting like you're perfect? You're in church.
And you know what? If it means you have to be undignified, but you're getting freed and you're in a better position because of it and you're getting closer to God, then so be it.
Yeah.
I would rather that happen and I'm have a better relationship with God than me caring about what people think and my pride and whatever, and I'm in the same place for years.
Exactly.
Doesn't make sense.
I mean, if you want to use like an analogy, it's like people always compare church to the hospital. Right? You go there to get healed.
Yeah.
Church is for broken people. So you go to the hospital because you're sick, but the nurse now comes and says, what's wrong? I say, oh, no, I'm fine.
Everything's fine.
I'm good, thanks. Why are you here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you not here to get better? Like, say, ow, if you're in pain, tell me on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, when I was younger and I'd always be in the hospital, they'd always say to me, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much pain are you in?
Mm-hmm.
And I had quite a high, I think to this day, I've got quite a high pain threshold. Like, it takes a lot for me to say, like, ow, I'm in a lot of pain. So I'd always give the number. But imagine if I said, no, I'm good. I'm on zero. On one. And meanwhile, I'm literally in hospital. I'm in hospital bed and I'm saying I'm on number one.
Yeah, that's
literally just a lie.
Do you know, that you saying that has reminded me how, like, when I used to go to hospital as a kid, my parents would be like, tell them that you can't sleep. You haven't slept for days. Don't, when you go there, don't say that you went to school yesterday. It's been 2 weeks. This girl hasn't got the level of exaggeration.
Yeah, I think they want to exaggerate, so they take you, like, seriously.
She's been crying for 4 days.
Yeah, she hasn't been able to sleep. She hasn't been eating. Hasn't been playing with her sister. I never forget, I had this, this sounds really gross, but I had this condition in year four called glue ear. Yeah. And it means my left ear has a really small ear canal and it overproduces earwax. It's so gross. So back then is when they realized like her ear is always blocked because I had so much earwax.
Yeah.
So there was one time when I was in year four that my grandpa was staying with us for like months on end and he had to take me to a GP appointment and he was like, tell them you can't hear. Tell them your ears are hurting you. Meanwhile, I was just going there to get my ear flushed because I had so much earwax. Yeah. He was like, nah, tell them you can't even talk.
You, when you move your head like this, it hurts.
It hurts so much. That made me laugh.
Like, it would be so bad to the point that, you know, obviously, like in the UK, doctors, they try to talk to the children and get the children to tell them how they're feeling.
Yeah.
Not so much the parents. My parents didn't understand that. They would always want to talk for me.
Oh, did they?
And then the doctor would be like, no, we'd love to hear from Joyce, you know, to tell us.
Tell us your story.
They'd just be looking at you like, if you don't tell them.
If you don't exaggerate now.
Ah, it's too funny.
Okay, so something we wanted to talk about today was being angry with God.
Yeah.
So, now this is the thing. Growing up, I never understood why people would be angry with God.
Mm.
I'm like, isn't God good? Like, doesn't he only do good things? And I think I always associated being angry with God with basically not believing in him.
Okay.
I always thought that, I don't know, atheists are just angry with God, for example. That's why they don't believe in him. But recently in my life, there have been some things that have made me very angry.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, not me being angry at God. Like, I've never actually felt this before. Mm-hmm. And people always say, you know, it's good to be angry with God because, well, I think it's like proof that you know he exists. And it's proof of a relationship, you know, like what kind of relationship is it if you don't sometimes get angry with the person, even if you don't express it to them?
Mm-hmm.
It just proves that I know him so much that I can go through things in my life and actually be annoyed and blame it on him. But I still acknowledge that he exists. And if you have questions with doubt and stuff like that, being angry with God kind of answers a few of those questions, I think. So, yeah, I just think that's interesting, like being angry with God and acknowledging that he's there and still. And communicating with him that you're angry. In other words, you're still praying, but you're still angry with him. It's very funny.
No, I hear that. I think for me, it's weird because whenever I feel like being angry with God is synonymous with like being in a really hard space or like hard season or whatever. And I have this thing where I might be annoyed with God, but then I'll be more annoyed with myself.
Really?
Because I'll be like, It's kind of problematic. I will say there must be something I'm doing for this thing not to be working out.
So you're angry with yourself, as in you're
putting I'm not really being as intentional with God as I could be, and that's why almost like he's punishing me kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah, which is crazy. And I, at the time I wouldn't admit it to myself, but the way I'm acting is as if that is what it is. Like, oh, if I was more obedient, if I was more intentional, if I was more disciplined.
Oh, okay. So like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And things are going wrong as a result.
Yeah.
And you think that those things going wrong is God punishing you.
Yeah. It might not even be that I'm doing something wrong. Something might be happening to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I'd be like, why can't I hear God? Like, that might frustrate me with God. But then I'd be like, what am I actually doing to hear him?
Yeah.
And then I just go back to blaming myself.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So, and I hate those cycles. I hate those cycles because I'm always like, Joy, what are you doing? You should be doing so much better than this.
Mm.
And I always feel that way, specifically when it pertains to my faith journey.
Mm.
Like, I'm slacking. I'm always on the back end. I struggle with that a lot.
See, that's the thing. Like, sometimes I hear that and I'm like, even if it's the truth, it feels quite damaging sometimes, because that's the foundation of our faith sometimes. Like, the fact that we are born into sin and that we don't know what's best for us. God knows what's best. So we make bad decisions very often, and he redeems us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to forgive ourselves because he forgives us. But sometimes it's like, why do I always point towards myself? That's why I keep saying I believe in life. Sometimes I just point towards life. Like, I'm tired of blaming myself for things going bad. I'm tired of, this might sound out of pocket, you let me know if it is, but I'm tired of blaming me being far from God on myself.
Yeah.
I know that sounds kind of crazy. I'm not saying, oh, it's somebody else's fault. I'm not reading my Bible. Meanwhile, it's beside me on my nightstand every single day, like, open it, definitely, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, maybe it's the kind of church that we've been raised in, or just our backgrounds. But it's like, there's so much blame that goes on us, and so many messages that make you think, I just have to do this, I just have to do that. Even if it's not in the direction of doing works, even if it is in the direction of grace and learning to love God more, sometimes I feel like we just blame ourselves so much for things not going right with God. We don't give enough credit to the fact that relationships are up and down. Therefore, how you interact with God is up and down, and life is up and down. Therefore, my faith is up and down too. That's it.
Yeah, and do you know what, like, just based on what you've just said now, it's just got me thinking that, like, for me to think that way, and for people maybe who can relate to what I've just said, it's almost like the fate of my relationship with God is in my hands.
Yeah,
because I'm not doing this is why this is happening. Yeah, which exactly. Is actually wrong, you know.
It's, you're like, you've never been in control.
No,
you never will be in control.
Yeah,
so for you to say, okay, obviously sometimes you do hear God saying, do this, that you don't do it. Okay, yeah, in that case, yeah, it could be your fault. But for you to think your whole relationship, your closeness of God is contingent on you reading your Bible in your own strength, or just being a good enough person who remembers to do all of that stuff, it's gonna wear you out, because you're going to keep thinking, I just have to do this, I just have to do that. And I always hear messages in church, they'll be like, oh, you say you fall far from God, but have you read your word?
Oh,
have you done this? Have you done that?
You know them backhanded ones. Like,
shut up.
Do you know what the ones that really annoy me? Yeah?
Yeah.
These people that would be like, oh, you say you don't have money to come to, you know, our convention to encounter God, but you will find that money to go see Burna Boy, won't you?
Well, maybe I will. What you gonna do about it?
And like, it's just like, oh my, it irritates me, because it doesn't come from a place of, it's not a genuine place it comes from, I feel. It comes from a place of, I'm better than you. I spend my money in places that are better and you don't. And ha ha.
Exactly.
That's how it feels anyway.
Yeah. And I don't think that's what our faith should look like. Once again, there are some responsibilities that you have to just keep the faith together if you say you believe as much as you really do. But to always blame the person, I don't think our faith is about blame. Sometimes I think, what is it about then? I don't know, I'm trying to figure out, but like, it's not about blame. It's not about saying, oh, it's because I haven't done this, that's why I'm angry. Like, maybe you're just, things are happening in life that are so out of your control, that's just making it hard to be the Christian that you want to be right now.
Yeah.
But for you to blame that on the fact that you didn't do your quiet time for 3 days in a row, that's beyond me. I don't think that's your fault. I think that's just life-ing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Sometimes I think the answer is that simple. Now, I try not to hide behind that. I try not to be like, oh, it's because of life. It's because of life. It's not because, like, obviously, yeah, sometimes it is my
life.
Also everyday life.
Yeah.
But I think this whole, I don't know what word to use, like this whole, you could even call it this doctrine of blame. We'll call it that.
Yeah.
Just saying, oh, it's because I'm not doing this. Like, that's works. That's like pseudo works. Mm-hmm. You're trying to do the absolute most just to keep close to God. I need to do this. I need to do that. And because the things that you're doing seem godly, you think that that's the right path to go down. But sometimes I think just surrender and be like, you know what, God, I'm angry and I'm going to wait till I'm not anymore because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. I think that honesty and that authenticity is key.
Yeah.
You know, because pretending not to be angry with God when you, like, it's God, come on now, he knows that you're not too impressed, are you?
Yeah.
So pretending to be another way, or pray, even coming to God in prayer and not saying that you're fuming,
yeah,
is just disingenuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking, he's actually really annoyed me recently. It's like, chill. Like, okay, I get it. You're God alone. Like, okay, I get it. I cast my cares. But it's like, this is the thing. Sometimes Christians always, always say, he's never going to give you more than you can bear. And then I learned that he will give you more than he can bear, because that's when you start, that's the a cue for you to put your trust in him. He'll give you more than you can bear. You do what you can and he'll do the rest. Therefore, you overcome something crazy.
Talking of God giving you more than you can bear, I was on TikTok yesterday and I saw a video of this lady. It was like one of those A&E shows, yeah? Mm-hmm. And the doctor was talking to her and she was just like, yeah, your husband has like a brain bleed and it's not really looking too good. And she was like, yeah, is it not looking too good? And she was like, yeah, you might want to call family and whatever. And she was like, well, I don't know who I can call because I lost my dad this year. I lost my sister and I lost my son.
What?
I said, huh?
This is real.
Real life in the same year. And now her husband is holding onto life by a thread.
What the hell?
And she just was like, I just can't, who can I call to like, they're going through enough. They're just trying to survive off of these three losses. What? And now I'm supposed to tell them that there's actually another one.
I'm so sorry. I might cut this out, but I would actually contemplate ending everything.
And it's like, there's these verses that like, though God slays me, you know, I will still. And I always, my prayer always is, I know that life will always life. And there's going to be things that happen to me and to many people that, and my prayer, and I pray this from the deepest places, is that God's grace will help me not to run away when those things happen.
Run away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I would run towards him, but I'd run towards him with anger.
No. I'm coming at you with this knife in my hand.
I'm mad, but I'm coming.
That's good, though. And I always encourage people, come angry.
Come as you are.
Come fuming, but come. And the people that scare me are the ones that are like, oh, is it okay?
It's like,
God bless ya.
If you believed in God, I mean, maybe it was just, if I believed in God this whole time throughout those three deaths.
Exactly, exactly.
And my husband is now on his deathbed. I'm not going to go now. Where am I going to go? God is all I have left anyways.
To whom else will I run to?
There is no other rock that's higher than this one right now.
There's no other options.
If there's anything I have left now, it's God. But at the same time, in a situation like that, I would be thinking, why did you have to take three of them? Like, okay, someone will say this child is to make you stronger. For what? Strong for what?
No, do you know what they'll hit you with? Everything happens for a reason.
Okay, I'd like to know the reason. Can I have the answer, please?
Don't even bother with that.
I don't care for the reason. I don't care.
And it's like, how do you talk to such a person? How do you talk, like, that person to us would have every right to be angry with God.
Of course they would. Of course they would.
So it's That's really difficult.
That's one of those it is well situations. God is in control.
When you see them, you just say, it is well.
No, man.
Not even it is well. It is well with my soul.
God.
That's what you have to drop. That's the line you got to drop on them when you see them.
No, I'm telling you, because things like that are enough to break a person. Obviously, a person that, say you don't, even someone that doesn't believe in God. I feel like as Christians, we don't give enough credit to people that don't believe in God because we think they don't have anything. And I guess from our perspective, they don't.
Yeah.
But people definitely still do have some kind of emotional system in their minds or something in life to help them get through situations. But I think if you never believed in God anyway, and all this stuff was happening to you, you would still be angry. But I think your anger would be directed somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you direct your anger?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, yeah. I guess it depends on the person.
Some people are actually angry with the person that passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think life can bring so much anger.
Yeah, it's
true.
Things
that you go through. But it's just interesting to think of where the anger is deposited. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, is deposited towards God. And I pray that if I was ever in a situation like that, it would only bring me closer. But I don't want to hear about strength. No, sorry. I don't want to hear about trials and tribulations. I don't want to hear anything.
Do you know what verse? You know what verse will send you over the edge, yeah? When you're angry with God, count it all joy when you see trials of many kind. Joy. Because just know that they're for the endurance, you know?
And you're like,
I hear it, I know it, I get it. But right now,
I don't want to hear that.
keep that verse. It's annoying. I remember being in that season where I was so frustrated that I feel like everything. And the thing with me, when I'm annoyed or when I'm upset, I think of everything that's going wrong in my life.
Yeah.
From the age of two, what has been going wrong. And I remember walking down the road one day going home. And what made it worse is everything was going horrible in my life. Things were just not falling into place. I'd just come back from a convention. And when I went to this convention, I felt like everyone else's lives seemed amazing. Mm. And I was just listening to people's testimonies. And I was just thinking, nothing's clicking for me. Nothing's going right for me. Like God seems to be really moving in other people's lives. And with me, I just feel like I'm at this stagnant place and I'm begging every day. And I was walking down the road and I thought of that verse that says I look to the hills. Yeah. Where does my help come from?
Yeah,
my help comes from the Lord. Yeah. As in, even if I'm in the valley, you are there. Yeah. Even if I'm on top of the mountain, you are there. And I just think, like, the idea that God is there and his nearness even in the silence is somewhat comforting.
It is definitely comforting. It's like there's nothing else but God. Well, at least there's still something.
Yeah,
at least there's still something despite all of that loss.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, sometimes I feel like I'm gonna need something else besides strength. I feel like at this point, hearing that it's making me stronger, it's just not helping me anymore. I don't care, let me be weak. I don't care. I actually don't care. I thought to myself, strength is such a hoax because it's so like I never know what word to use for anything, but it's like wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to be okay with this horrible thing happening because it's going to make me stronger for the horrible thing that's going to happen in 2 years.
What
time.
Doesn't kill you makes you strong. Yeah.
Okay. So now you're telling me that I'm going to go through this hell. It's going to make me stronger so that I can go through hell times two next year and I can get through that.
No.
I'm tired of going through hell. I don't want to.
I know.
Like, I'm getting stronger so I can go through more pain and keep stronger for what? Am I not going to die in the end? It's like, why am I strong?
Yeah.
It feels like such a hoax. It's like I've been hiding, or everyone's been hiding behind this whole idea of, you need to be strong because, you know, when you're strong, you can fight. You're mentally strong. You can get past these bad things that are happening.
Mm.
But it's like, strong to what end? Because in the end, I will still pass away.
You know, the ones when you're like, well, at least I ain't dead.
But then when I am, there's a battle everybody loses in life, and that's death. You will die.
As in, you will lose that one for sure.
There's no way you're winning that one. So I don't know, maybe it's just a thing that I'm thinking about recently, but it's like, to what end is strength even worth it? Because I'm just going to go through more. Like when I was a kid, it was really hard for me to fathom, I don't know, my mom throwing this, my favorite top, in the bin. Oh, because I grew out of it. Oh, that's really, really sad.
Yeah.
Then when I got to secondary school, it was, oh my gosh, what if I fail my GCSEs? You build strength there. A-level, what if I fail this? And then, you know, love and relationships, what if this doesn't happen? You conquer all of these fears. But as you can see, things are getting difficult.
Getting worse and worse.
It's like, is there an ultimate battle? Like, would there be an ultimate battle that I fight, that I have the strength to get through, and then I have peace till I die? Or am I just going to keep having battles and keep getting through these tough battles because I built strength 10 years ago and I'm building strength and I'm still building strength? For what?
It does kind of feel like it goes back to that whole thing, like with the Ecclesiastes, was like, nothing even matters.
Even Lauren.
Lauren said it.
Nothing matters.
Like, it's just, it doesn't matter. Like,
it doesn't matter.
I try not to think like that because you'll become mad. You'll be like, so why are you even doing that?
What's the point?
So, why?
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, a couple of days ago, I was on Twitter and this person was, I think they tweeted something about like depression or something. And in essence, they said, people with high intelligence are the most depressed.
And they said it's because they gain like awareness of the world. And the more awareness you gain of reality, your brain literally wants to kill itself.
What?
As in, that's what you could say depression is, like in a very, very, very basic, crazy description.
Yeah,
you become so aware of how crap this earth is.
Yeah.
That your brain is like, girl, it's time to go.
I need to check out of here.
Clock out now. Like, it's just so rough. It's so tough. That
yeah.
And you know, like, that's the whole thing. Ecclesiastes, that guy was a flipping philosopher. He was very intelligent. Mm-hmm. And look at what he was going through in that book. In the end, he said, well, anyway, worship God still, because there's nothing else you can do. He was going back and forth with the futility of life, you know? And it's just interesting how, like, you have to find this balance between self-awareness and mindlessness. Because if you become a bit too self-aware, if you become a bit too perceptive, the reality of life really, really dawns on you. Mm-hmm. And apparently your brain's going to try and kill itself.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely believe that ignorance is bliss.
Oh, for real. I'm starting to really, really see that again.
Like there's a comfort in that that we, and I don't like to be I enjoy being intelligent, I enjoy being wise and all these different things, but I think that sometimes there is a price that comes with that, like you said, being too self-aware of yourself and of others as well. You pick up on everything, you observe everything, like it's exhausting. I like that sense of innocence.
I think what I'm trying to do on that note is find a balance again. And it's funny because we've had this podcast for like a year now, we thank God.
How can we forget to mention, guys?
Oh, yeah, guys. Today, well, it's not going to come out today, but the day we record is our 1 year anniversary. Oh, isn't that so nice? I remember one of the realizations I had around the time that we started this podcast was the importance of balance, and we spoke about it all the time. And I think that relates to ignorance and like self-awareness too. Like, you might think that you're a really ignorant person, like you don't know anything, so you go on this journey of extreme self-awareness to the point where you're basically depressed now because you realize how horrible life is. You've gone from one extreme to another.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I guess I feel like self-awareness is something you grow into, actually, but I think if you get to that point, it's probably ideal to start to relax a bit, because you've really lost that balance now. Yeah. And you need to be a bit more mindless. Yeah, you know, the group Mindless Behavior.
I remember them.
You have to engage in some mindless behavior every now and then, because if you like try to approach all of your situations with rationality, it's just going to get like, oh, I don't know, tiring, and like, just you lose the spice of life.
Yeah. Do you ever like, I think we can both relate on this, like just always making the right decision. It sounds so silly to say, and I bet people will be listening like, girl, are you crazy? But sometimes you just want to be. You just want to be wild.
You don't even understand. Like, you saying that is true.
Why do I always got to do the right thing?
You saying that. To be brief, I made the right decision about a week ago, right? And part of me regrets, like, why did you have to be so good to yourself? Why did you have to show yourself so much love?
Let's talk about that
Because now you've gotten rid of some absent-minded enjoyment. And it's because, and I did it because I told myself, and I still know that I was going to regret it, I pay for it down the line anyway. So why not end it now? But part of me was thinking, oh, but you were having a bit of fun, weren't you?
I have been there. I've been there, definitely. Yeah. And I'm just going to address that elephant in the room. It's literally when it comes to relationships, I've been there. It's like, I always have this mentality of cry now or cry later.
Exactly.
And when you cry later, you're going to cry for longer. That's for sure. But it's not easy. Like, I can make that decision and be like, you know what, based on this, this and this, this is not going to work out for me and it's not what I need.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, let me just enjoy. Let me just live life. Let me just another week. There's a bag of consequences that come with that.
That's,
you know?
Yeah, and that's what you try to focus on. Because, like, you make the decision, and in the time, it might be hard, but after a day or so, you might be like, yeah, I made the right choice. But then you start to reminisce.
Oh, the memories.
You start to get memories, and you start to think, was it that bad? Should I have done that?
And you know what will happen? You'll just only remember the good things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You were like, oh, he was a good man. He was a good man. Well, you forget all the crap that he did.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at that point, you were dealing with the mess and the good. And you realize the mess is way too much. Okay, I'm going to say bye to this. But then rose-tinted glasses, you just get rose-tinted eyes, full stop. You never take them off. Mm-hmm. And you only remember the good times in the situation you removed yourself from out of self-love. And you start to think, why did I make such a good decision? Like, other people are out here being so careless with their time and their hearts. Yeah, why can't I do the same? But yeah, it is really the case of crying now or later, because deep down, when you made that decision to make a wise choice, you knew that you were going to either have to cry now or later.
Exactly.
You knew that you were in denial about how bad this was for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to just do it ASAP. Either way, tears are going to be shed, but hopefully there's less tears to be shed now than in, I don't know, a few months time or whatever.
Yeah, go for what you want and do what you want. And I genuinely believe this, like with the majority, well, some guys, the guys that I know, they don't play with that. If they're not feeling something, they are gone on the next thing smoking out of there. Like, exactly. They're not going to ponder or maybe this or maybe that. And the way I am, I'm an advocate of giving people the benefit of the doubt. So by the time I've come to that decision, I've probably given you the benefit of the doubt quite. And it's not that these people are bad people or whatever, but it's just that fundamentally there's something that's just amiss there.
Yeah, you know they're not right for you. And even like on the note of relationships, it's kind of sad how much denial you have to be in about what makes someone good or bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, this thing doesn't really align, or this thing isn't great. I'm not too happy about that thing. But you kind of tell yourself that you are, because in essence, you're just having a good time.
Yeah.
And you're just getting to know somebody and it's very, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
So you just throw all of that serious stuff out the window. And then that comes with advice from other people.
I tell you.
Telling you to just enjoy your life. Yeah, just have fun. This is okay.
And then you make a mistake of talking to anyone above the age of 28. You're just so young.
Just have fun.
Don't take it too seriously. When I was your age.
When I was your age, I should have had more fun. But I'm not you. Yeah. I'm actually not you. I saw some tweet a few days ago. This girl was like, basically, heal, date while you're healing, in essence.
Okay, I think I saw that actually.
Did you see that? And I was thinking, I mean, for somebody, yeah. For me, no.
Date while you're healing, you know.
She was like, I'm not here to basically just sit around and wait for myself to get better, which I do understand, because you don't know how long it's going to take for you to get over something. So wait until you get better is like, God knows how long you're going to be waiting for. Like, at one point, you're just going to have to keep moving while you're getting better. I get that.
Mm.
But she was basically like, I'm not wasting a single tear outside of enjoyment. I'm going to cry on the ride. I'm going to cry in the if I have to.
But the thing is, spoiler alert, bringing it back to Insecure.
Yeah.
You're trying to move on from the love of your life. You get it on, yeah. And you're crying.
You're crying.
You are breaking down.
That scene.
And that scene, do you know what made me laugh about that scene? She surprised herself. She didn't even intend to cry. It just came on her and she was just crying.
It was like, Issa, what are you doing?
And the guy left. Like, he just left. It was so awkward.
It was such a low moment for her. I didn't expect her to have a moment that low in this season. I thought she'd finally, like, you know, like, stop doing stuff like that.
But
stop being so broken.
What would you do if you were Issa? For context, people that don't watch Insecure, because you know,
it's
a bit raunchy. Some of our listeners out there.
It's not a PG-13.
It's not PG-13. But essentially, there's this couple and they're madly in love. The girlfriend cheats. There's more context to it, but anyway, she cheats.
Yeah.
And after a while, they're trying to rekindle things. This is like a year and a half or maybe 2 years later. Yeah. Just as they're trying to get back to the great space they were in and they've resolved things, this guy's ex-girlfriend tells him that she's pregnant.
Mm.
Now we come to season 5. We're seeing the aftermath. Like, at the end of season 4, she was literally rolling up a blunt and smoking weed. She's That's how bad it was. She said, I'm going to smoke this right
Sorry, quick, before you carry on, have you ever had to, like, have been so frazzled in your mind that you just want to smoke a cigarette?
Babe?
As if you even smoke.
I will get a wine glass and fill it with apple juice and just sit in my room.
Sometimes you just want to smoke. You just want to drink. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Let me drink this hard liquor.
Let me drink this. Let me smoke this right now.
Babe. So she's smoking. She said, forget life. Like, oh, what is this? Yeah. And then we're seeing the aftermath, and it's really hard for them because they can't deny that he has a baby coming on the way, and this is not what she imagined for her life. And it's different now. And I think there's some things that happen in life that just make things different. Mm. And it's just never going to be the same. And I think a baby is just one, even however much a blessing a baby is, it's like this boyfriend of hers is now experiencing this without her for the first time, and it's heartbreaking.
Why do they have to do that, man?
So what would you do if you were Issa?
As in, so in what situation now? If I was...
As in, would you try to make things work with Lawrence?
No. I think I would actually do exactly what she's done up until what we've seen so far.
Okay.
I think I would try to make things work. I'd be in the denial that I was speaking about earlier.
Yeah.
And then I'd realize that I don't want to date someone that has a child.
You'll pull back. But this is not just someone... This is Lawrence. Like,
okay, well, that's something I can't identify with because I haven't been in love before. So I don't know what she was feeling in terms of wanting him so badly to try and make it work.
But even taking the love aspect out of it, this is someone she's known for years. Like, he talked about living in LA for 8 years, and I assume he's known Issa all that time.
Yeah.
So that's really long.
I think I would do exactly what she did. I would try to make it work because I've known you for so long. And I've loved you for so long, and I'm trying to make things work, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. I think in the end, I would realize this isn't going to work. And I'd try to get with somebody else, and I'd cry while I was getting somebody and I'd make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And they would leave, and I'd just be there having to pick up all of these pieces. I'd have to pick up pieces from memories from our past relationship. I'd have to forgive myself for cheating on you, which led to all of this.
Yeah.
I'd have to stop reminiscing on all the good times we recently had. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to forgive myself for trying to get over you by getting under somebody else and deal with that embarrassment too. Oh. It would take me a while.
As in, she is going through it.
I would be broken beyond belief. Millions and millions of pieces.
And you know what I love about Insecure? It's so realistic.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's not trying to make us feel better. It's not trying to show us what we want to see. Yeah. It's just showing us the reality of, like, you know what, sometimes these things happen and things are just never the same again.
Yeah.
And it is what it is.
It really is what it is.
Ah, love that show.
It's quite sad to just see something so realistic. And that's why I keep saying, like, I want them to go back together just for the sake of TV.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to watch something that makes my heart warm.
Exactly.
But she's always been real about how she wants it to be real life, and she knows how this is going to end. And the vibe I'm getting is that they just won't get back together, but I still have some hope in my heart that they...
I think it's going to be an open-ended ending.
No, I'm so sorry.
And the whole of the TL will come for her. I have a feeling.
As in you don't know
what happens. As in, it's just like, it's very open-ended, like, you decide, like, you know, that one.
I mean, if she gives me the opportunity, I would decide exactly in my head that they got back together, and I'll actually have peace with that.
Yeah.
But if she says they are not getting back together at the end, that's going to really infuriate me.
Yeah, I hear that.
Man.
Storytelling is so weird, like, you just have the power to just make it what you want it to be.
That's why I love storytelling, at least in the form of writing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Creating a whole world and injecting your own experiences into that world and seeing how people interact with that is so cool.
Yeah.
That's how God watches us, because he did just that. He's up there watching us have our fun as the creator of it all.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I know, innit?
Yeah.
But how do you think, going back to being angry with God and all of that,
yeah,
how do you feel like you're able to come out of that space?
I can't answer that question because I'm still there, and it's the first time.
I ain't the one to ask.
You have to ask somebody else. Yeah. I don't know. I think after a while, the situation that you're going through that makes you angry just kind of dies down.
Mm-hmm.
I think you gain perspective. Oh, one thing I wanted to say today, actually. So yesterday, mind blank. Yeah, so yesterday, Charles called me.
Yeah, he called me as well.
He would do too, right? Yeah. And I was so frantic because I had so many different things to do after work yesterday. So I was like, you caught me at like the best and the worst time because I'm a mess mentally, but I literally didn't have any time to talk about it, you know? So then he called me like later on in the day. And then I told him about some things that are happening and he gave me the pep talk of a lifetime.
What?
Listen,
what am I even talking about? Charles can give a pep talk.
We're gonna have to do what's it called? Praise and Charles. This episode is gonna be cool now. Because the first person was apology to Charles. No, this is the third time that he's come through for me in terms of me being in a horrible place.
Yeah.
And actually really, really helped me to see things better.
Mm-hmm.
He was now listing the things that are going well in my life.
What?
I haven't even done that myself.
Come on.
And in the end, he was basically like, you just lose perspective sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I was going to bed, I kind of just saw like, a visual in my mind about what it means to lose perspective. Because it's one thing to say something and understand it, but sometimes to see it in your mind's eye makes it even realer. I see it as like, say you're like a little character, right? Say you're like the size of this or something.
Mm.
And there's two balls on the table. One ball is like, this the size of my phone and the other ball is like the size of my water bottle, like two massive spheres, and they're like far away from each other.
Yeah.
The phone is the bad things happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottle, this water bottle, is all the good things that have happened, all the good things that have always been the case.
Okay.
I think to lose perspective is to stand so close to my phone or the ball that's the same size as my phone.
Yes.
And to look up at it and be like, this is massive. Big.
Yeah.
And obviously on the other side of the table, far away, is the ball that's the same size as my water bottle.
Yes.
It's always been bigger, but because it's so far away, it looks smaller. Mm. I don't have time to be grateful for that. That's small. Like, could I have a house? I don't care. I'm really sad today. That's Thanksgiving. So I look at this big, what's it called, ball of problems. Like, oh, it's so massive. I'm standing so close to it because I'm so immersed in my issues.
Exactly.
I turn around and I face this bottle that is so big in reality, but looks so small to me. Mm-hmm. To lose perspective is to stand so close to your problems that your good things seem insignificant.
Now. You're preaching now.
A grain of salt.
Oh.
A single grain.
Imagine.
So
you can't see it.
To gain perspective.
Yes.
Is to run towards that big ball like you've never run in your life.
Yeah.
And realize just how big it is. Mm. Realize just how blessed you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, you lost perspective. Oh my God, I did.
Yeah.
After he listed five good things in my life. And I was like, and he was like, and those things are always going to be good. It was things like you have good friends, you have a supportive family, you got a first in your degree, you have a good job.
Yes.
You have God.
Yes.
And
come
I was
on.
Like, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. The things I'm stressing about right now are nothing compared to those five constant good things happening in my life.
Mm.
So yeah, to answer your question about when do you stop being angry, I think it's when you finally regain that good perspective on life.
Yeah.
When your problems are no longer as big in your eyes as they should be, because the reality is that they're literally not.
Yeah.
The reality is your problems are not as big as your good things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you lose that anger with God when you realize, oh, I was just looking at everything literally all wrong.
Yeah, and talking about it, like relating it to like what I'm going through at the moment as well, it's interesting because I've always prayed to God that I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a solicitor. Mm-hmm. I want to go to law school. Please, like, make a way.
Yeah.
And God in his graciousness has done that. But I did not anticipate the amount of hard work and the amount of exhaustion and the amount of mental warfare.
I'm telling you.
That comes with it. Do you know what I mean? That's what it is. Every day it's a fight.
Yeah.
And it's like, you want these things from God. You want God to bless you with these, but it comes with sacrifices.
Yeah.
And we don't pray for those sacrifices. I don't pray, oh my gosh, oh yeah, God, a side dish of hard work as well with that.
Yeah.
But we want this end goal. But that end goal, there's a journey. There's a hill you've got to climb.
This is the climb, for real.
It's really the climb. That's a gospel song right there. That Miley Cyrus was in her bag.
Yeah.
And so I can complain to God and be like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired before I feel like I've even started. Like, that's just something I kept saying to God. Like, I'm not even in the grit of it and I'm exhausted. How are you going to pull me through this? But he's literally like to me, Joyce, this is the cross that you have to carry.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way to where you're trying to go. And please, in a way, please firm it. Because the way I want to use you when you get there, when you get on top, when you're there.
Yeah.
and not on top of like on top of the world, but when you get, when you conquer whatever you're going through right now, you know, it's that verse of like the pain that you're going through now cannot compare.
Yeah, it can't compare
to, you know, what you'll have when you overcome it. So I think, yeah, that's definitely something interesting to think about. And it's like, I could be angry with God and be like, why is this going on? But this is what I asked God for. Mm-hmm. It's just that I just wasn't aware that it was going to come with these sacrifices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting how in life, when we think about what we want, we just like, it's like hopscotch. We just jump from, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But you forget, like, you're actually in the air for a recordable amount of time before you land on the next number.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough, it's just a jump, but you're actually moving from number 3 to number 5. Like, you're skipping number 4. Like, there's a journey from one place to another. Like, you know the steps, you know what you want to do, but it's important to not forget what it takes to actually get there. Like, everything can be broken down into so many small pieces, like an unimaginable amount of pieces.
Yeah.
And that's what life is. I think life is the majority working through those little steps that it's going to take you to get to where you want to be.
Aye.
For some reason, we always forget that. We just think it's going to be okay that I'm going to do this. But no, to actually get to that thing, you're going to have to do so many things and work through so many things and go through so many trials and tribulations just to get there. And that's not even from the perspective of building strength. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to do these things to get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
And if you're too scared to do those things, you're just going to remain stagnant. And it's not even like you're happy with where you are now anyways. Like, I have a friend who knows what she wants to do, like in a certain sector of career, basically. But she can't decide between doing this or doing that in that sector. And she's been umming and ahhing for such a long time. And yeah. She's like, yeah, because if I do this, then I have to go through all of these stages. I'm like, well, do it then. It's not just going to fall into your lap.
You know what really freed me?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, oh, but if I do this, I'll be 28. You're going to be 28 anyway, babe.
Regardless.
So you might as well be 28 with this added asset in your life. Do you know what I mean? That really helped. And like you've been saying, it's literally a perspective thing.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes it's just good to remember that working hard is inevitable. Like, you know, I remember listening to a sermon, I can't remember if I said it on the pod before, but it really was a light bulb moment. It was, life is hard, as we all know. You've got to pick your hard.
Mm-hmm.
Pick your hard. It's hard to work hard. It's hard to get up in the morning. It's hard to put that work in. It's hard to show up and be at your best level. Mm-hmm. And even if you fall down, do better next week or do better the next day, because that whole next week thing as well, next day, new day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's also hard to ask people to borrow them for money. It's also hard be broke. It's hard to lack because you were lazy.
Yeah.
There's verses that literally talks about like people who sleep too much and who are lazy. They are literally begging for poverty to come and visit them. That is hard. So pick your one.
Pick your difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would rather wake up in the morning and grind and do what I need to do and work hard and you know, be the person that God has called me to be. I'd rather pick that hard, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you'd rather shed blood, sweat and tears working towards a goal than sweat and blood... Than shedding blood, sweat and tears begging your sister to give you £20.
Come on.
I would rather not do that. I'd rather spend my time working towards what I want in this life than to spend it begging somebody to just give me a chance because I'm too lazy to go after what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And even like with what you said with your friend, like her being in the crossroads of not knowing what to choose and what to do and whatever. I found myself in that similar position of feeling like I don't know what I want to specialize in and stuff like that. I'm a bit confused. But I think that based on whatever you choose, you don't have to feel like this is a final destination.
Mm.
There's no fact that there doesn't have to be a finality to it.
Exactly.
You can always start again. You can always have a new interest. You can always have a new passion. God could call you something for 10 years, for 15, for 5. Like, it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to have new interests. It's okay.
Nah, you saying it's okay to change your mind is iconic,
babe.
Because you can change your mind.
Thank you.
If you have my number, go on my WhatsApp status.
January 1st, 2018, I put, you can change your mind.
Yes.
Because you can. Mm. Oh my gosh, it's the most liberating thing to realize. I can decide that I want to do something else. Okay, do it. It's absolutely fine. Yeah. I think sometimes we feel so indebted to the self that made a decision and decided to go into a direction. And that's why we struggle to change our mind, because we want to be committed. I'll be committed to my decision. Like, we really want to be, like, we want to do what we said we're going to do.
Yeah.
But I think the only being that can do that is God.
Come on.
That's why we say, there's one song, I don't know if you know it, but it says, what you say you will do, that is what you will do. That's why you're called Jehovah. Mm-hmm. It's like, God is the only person that can remain committed to anyone or anything from dawn to dusk, from beginning to end. You changing your mind is such a human thing. And I think we sometimes get so lost in potential regret, because we don't want to be like, oh, I changed my mind and that was a bad idea because I was on the right path. Like, yeah, but you never know. Like, you don't know anything in life. If you stayed on that same path, maybe you'd have regrets then too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Giving yourself that liberation to change your mind. And if you go down a certain career path and you decide, oh, I don't like that, change your mind. It's okay. You can actually do that. The only person that's stopping you is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much liberation in being like, you know what, I'm going to do what's best for me now. And if I change my mind, that's fine, because I knew that when I made the initial decision, I was doing what was best for me then. And now I'm going to do what's best for me now.
Yeah, you can only make a decision based on the facts you have.
Exactly.
At the time, you know, so. Exactly. Yeah, that's what it boils down to, man.
Yeah, for real.
So, girl, do you have any faves of the week?
Yes, I do. I have a song by, let me get her name right. I think her name is Maurette Brown Clark, the one that sang Sovereign God.
Bigger than now.
So she has a song called Just Want to Praise You,
right?
And this is really, really nice. It's one of those songs where there's one verse and it's just repeated, but then it modulates.
Okay.
Is it modulate when they change the key and they go higher and higher?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just a nice song. That's literally it. Just Want to Praise You by Maurette Brown Clark. I've been loving that song recently.
Aww.
And also Bless from Hillsong. When I was editing the episode last
time, you I listened to it. Oh, love it. It's such a good one.
It's so old school Hillsong.
Yes, yes.
It's just so lovely. So yeah, those two songs have been really, really blessing me this week. There's my current faves.
Oh, I love that. I'm trying to look at, all I do is listen to music. Music is just such a big part of my day, you know?
Music is my life.
What can I put you guys on to? Okay, I'll put you guys onto this song. It's a Lauryn Hill song. Come on, we can't go one episode without mentioning
that. That's the second time we've mentioned that in this episode.
People will be like, okay,
we get it.
It's called The Sweetest Thing.
Yes,
and it's such a good song, guys. It's such a good vibe. It's like a vibe, like you can just chill in the evening from a long day of work with your glass of wine and your popcorn and just put that song on.
You got that from Scandal.
I'm obsessed with Scandal, by the way. And just enjoy.
Yeah, it's literally on my good night playlist. Like when I'm winding down, that song will be played.
Definitely a good one.
I think my favorite line from that song is, warm as the sun dipped in black, fingertips on the small of my back.
What?
So Lauren.
Oh my gosh,
I love that song so much.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good fave.
But guys, we hope you've enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
We just wanted to, you know, be real honest and talk about, you know, some of the times that we're angry with God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've taken away from this episode is that thing that you said, that the worshiper in me just wants to be free.
From the intellectual. That's a communal current
thing. Oh, come on.
If you don't know more by Lawrence Flowers.
You're deserving of more.
It's so good. I think it's one of the best songs ever. Genuine.
I'll give you more.
Oh no, that song is, that's the only song I know by him, by the way.
Yeah, same. No, he has another song called Hey Hey God. Listen to that.
Hey Hey God. Okay, listen to that.
You need to listen to the YouTube, forget anything on Spotify, go onto YouTube, tap in Hey Hey God. It's a live song.
Yeah,
it is beautiful.
Okay, I'm gonna listen to that.
Oh, please, guys, please. If there's anything, please listen to that song.
Because
really
more has been touching me since 2015. It's been a good almost 7 years.
Yeah.
I love that song.
It's so good, man. But yeah, guys, it's been your girl Joyce.
And it's been me, your Defa Lara.
See ya.
Bye, guys.